All right, welcome to a grace group, our online grace group. Folks, remember, in the comment line there below, you can click on the Multiply book in Amazon if you want to order the book for this training. And also remember, we have 5 grace groups at Grace Point. It is much better by far for you to go in a grace group, because in the grace groups, there's a lot more conversation, back and forth, and discussion of the lesson. They really aren't meant to teach like this. I just don't want anybody in the congregation missing this material. At least they can get the gist of what we're going through in the groups. But hopefully you can actively join a group, and this would only supplement the stuff that you're getting in the group, because really it's meant to be interactive. So Father, thank you for those that are listening online. I pray that we're really taking this topic seriously about becoming followers of Jesus, Lord. I want to be a follower of Jesus in every area of my life. And I know the people out there do too, Lord. I believe that with all my heart. We want to follow you. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this section is called The Heart of a Disciple Maker. Question, why do you want to make disciples? Have you ever asked yourself that question? The answer is really important. As a follower of Jesus, we should be focused on making disciples, but we need to do it with the right motive. I remember when I first got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit in me gave me a powerful desire to share Jesus. And my motive was good. I just wanted to obey the Lord. I wanted to share Jesus with people. But somewhere along the way, I started getting involved in a church, and I started seeing pastors and prophets, and somewhere my motive might have got, as an early Christian, my motive might have got a little bit mixed, you know, like I wanted to be a great Christian, and I wanted to be a great evangelist, and I wanted to be a great preacher, all this, and I wanted to be someone that people considered knowledgeable in the scriptures. So my motive became mixed, and I have to be honest, I mean, I always had a sincere heart, and I really did want to share Jesus with people. I had a pure heart in that way. But I did notice some mixture sometime, wanting to be successful or wanting to be recognized and wanting to be noticed. But over time, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord know how to put that to death in your life. But as a Christian, you really have to examine your motive in making disciples. You want to do it for the right reasons. You don't want to do it so you can be well known, or that people can pat you on the back, or so that you can be perceived as more spiritual. Your motive really should be to honor God. The Pharisees were very religious, but Jesus said everything that they did it to be seen by men. In Matthew 15, he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, and they teach for commandments the doctrines of men." The Pharisees devoted their whole lives to religious activity. They must have seemed so impressive to the people around them. Yet Jesus came along and declared that it was all in vain. Wouldn't that be horrible to stand before God on Judgment Day and he said everything you did was in vain? Well, wait a minute, Lord, I cast out devils. I prophesied. You know, I gave my body to be burned. And he said, no, that was all in vain. You did it to build your own kingdom. You were serving yourself. You were creating a religious empire. Wouldn't that be horrible? And yet it happened. These religious leaders, all of them. This theme runs through Scripture. The Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart, 1 Samuel 16, 7. Clearly, God wants us to pursue certain actions, but as we put God's commands into action, our motivation makes all the difference. Take a moment to examine your heart. In all honesty, why do you want to make disciples? Do you struggle with wanting your actions to be noticed by others? Really important. And like I said, I 100% believe that my motives were good and have been good as a Christian. But I know there were times when my motives were mixed. How about you? Yeah, I wanted to be noticed. I wanted people to know that I really knew my Bible. I wanted to be an expert on religious matters. I wanted people to come ask me the answers, you know. And as much as I didn't want to be that person, that was something that God has had to deal with in my life. That my motive has to be because I love God and I really care about people. And we need to watch getting mixed motives in there. Because if you're a born-again Christian, you probably do have a sincere motive, but we can get a mixed motive. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and let us die to self. You'll be tested and tried in that, because there will be times when you are not noticed and you will not be recognized and no one will call on you. I've known people to come in churches and they had experience maybe teaching and preaching, and it's like they think in their mind they should be in 3 months, they should be up teaching. And they don't know how to sit still and let God promote them. They don't know how to do it. Just sit still and let God promote them. Every church that I've worked in and been involved in, I just came into the church, I got busy doing my chores, I just found my place, started serving God, and as I stayed submitted to authority, as I did my assignment, what no matter what it was, when I was at World Harvest, I did outreach, not a leader, just outreach, and I worked in children's ministry, and next thing you know, after a couple years, the outreach leader asked me to come on staff. Same thing that happened when I was at VGF. I just started doing children's ministry, started doing outreach, and after a couple years, the pastor there asked me to come on staff. I never aspired for it. I never tried for it. I just was submitted to leadership, giving offerings, serving in the church, and taking my place, and God opened doors for me. It should never be. If you come into a church, you let God promote you. Don't be self-seeking and thinking you're the answer. There was one pastor, I thought it was a great story. This person always told the pastor what he should do and how he should run the church. And so the pastor asked him, he said, "Do you think God is big enough that he's sovereign enough and he's big enough that he could make you pastor, you know, somewhere, that he could make you the pastor, that he could do that?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I think he's big enough and sovereign. He could do that." And he said, "Well, why didn't he?" Just as a pastor, that tickled me. Like, yeah, no, God made that pastor the pastor because that was his mission and assignment. So anytime you come into a church, you should come into a church with the idea that I'm going to serve. I don't care if I'm noticed or I'm not noticed. I don't give offerings to be noticed. I don't serve to be noticed. God has a plan for my life. He truly is sovereign. He will put me where I need to be, and He'll promote me if He wants me to be promoted. God will make sure that I get where I need to be as long as I'm obeying God. I know dozens, hundreds of people that cannot do that. They just can't do it. I really believe they think they're the answer. They come into a church. That church may have been there 10 years without them. And they come into a church and they think they're the answer to the church. The church isn't looking for an answer. They're looking for humble servants, people to come in and learn and serve and become a part of a team and learn how to love one another and have a common mission and learn how to serve one another. That should be modeled from the pastor all the way down to the pew. It should be pastor should be serving and loving and modeling this behavior, and it should be all the way down to the children's ministry. And if God wants someone there, He will gift you in that gift. And the Word of God says your gift will make room for you. So here is what I say about your place in the kingdom. You take your place and you serve God humbly, and He will exalt you in due time. It really is a lack of faith. It really is a lack of faith that you don't trust God enough to come into a church, sit down, be quiet, and serve, and believe that He will make room for you. It's a lack of faith. You don't believe it. You think you have to push your own way. And when you push your own way, you only demote yourself and prove yourself unfit for leadership. God will promote you if you serve Him, love Him humbly, serve your brother and sister, and get busy in the kingdom. He's done it in my life everywhere I've gone when I've just sat still, served. God made a room for me, and I got busy, whether it was on staff or just serving, every single time. So we need to understand that our motive and our attitude is not for personal success, for personal fulfillment, but it really should be to for the glory of God and to advance the kingdom. And however God wants to use you or flow through you, that's up to God. You just take your place, submit your gifts to Him, and serve Him, and He'll exalt you in due time. So the result of loveless ministry is serious. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I am nothing and I gain nothing. If I have great prophetic powers and speak in tongues and understand all mysteries, even if I have faith that can move mountains, if I'm not doing what I'm doing out of love for God and love for people, you need to scratch it. I'll tell you what you really should do if you're struggling with that. You think you're the answer. You've got to teach and you've got to be heard and it's your message. If you really think that, you need to go on a 7-day fast. I mean, just water, just drink water, no bread, nothing. And see how weak you are, okay? Just see how weak you are, okay? And if I don't convince you that you're weak, okay, you probably can't do it, but if you could do it, go on a 7-day fast and ask God to get that out of your heart. Start praying and seeking God and say, God, take the self-seeking out of my heart. Take the know-it-all out of me. Take the I am the answer out of me. And Lord, teach me to serve humbly. And I know you'll make room for me. How do you know this, Brother Brad? Because I've been that way. I've been that person that's gone into church thinking I had the answer, that I knew better than the pastor, that my gift was the one that they needed. You know what I found out? God can just set you on the bench. You can just go ahead and walk out of the church and backslide and prove yourself a miserable sinner. You can just walk away from God. I have proved to myself, I have been that person, and I was wrong. They didn't need my gift unless I submitted it humbly in service. I didn't have all the answers. I was just a piece of the solution, and I didn't know everything. There's a lot that I didn't know, and I needed to learn. And it's taken the Lord a while to get me to the place where I really, truly recognize that. So it's very important you have the right attitude in serving and whatever you do, that you're doing it as a lover of God and you don't worry and look to people for your reward. If you're not willing to make loving God and loving people your highest priority, then seriously, just stop and seek God and ask God to make a change in your heart. Honestly assess in your heart and ask God to purify your motives and your habits. So here's a question for you. We're going to end here. I kind of did a little preach on this one. Up to this point, would you say that your desire to make disciples has been motivated by love? I bet it has. I would look out there in the audience. That's probably, if you're listening to me, I'd say probably, but have you had a little mixed motive? That'd be another question. Why or why not? Why or why not? Here's another question for you, okay? Describe your love for people God has placed in your life. What evidence can you point to that shows you love the people around you? Now, I want you to think about this. What specific evidence, just think in your church, do you have that you love God and you love people? What evidence proves it? How are you treating people? Think about that. Write it down. Pray over it. And then we'll meet here next week in the class.